Scripture this morning is from John chapter 6. We got a good number of verses here, and they're not the smooth. I'm going to read from this paper. Thank you, Chris Ann. So John chapter 6, verses 35 to 51. Starting in verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All whom the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jewish folk there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which people may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world."
Got to get used to the new traffic flow. I should have sat on this side so I could have come up and Mark could have gone down. So this year, 2020, I turned 45. I guess that makes me officially in midlife now, which comes with its own set of challenges, right? I wake up each morning and my joints are kind of sore and I have to like get myself moving and ready for the day. I've been thinking a lot about my appetite and the nutrition, the changing nutrition needs for my body, because it is changing. The things I enjoyed eating as a younger person are not so good for me anymore. Maybe they weren't actually good for me back then either, but my body didn't seem to care. But my body doesn't process those foods the way it used to. My energy levels are changing, my needs are changing, and it's not just our bodies that change over time. Our minds and our spirits change as well. They need different things to stay healthy. And I don't know if our country would be considered young, middle-aged, or old at this point by historians, but as I observe our society, I notice changes in the last decade or so, changes in what we consume and how it affects us, and how it affects our relationships with one another and our behavior. And I find myself asking, what are we hungry for? What needs do people have right now? What are we feeding not only our bodies, but our minds and our hearts and our spirits? What do we need as a society to stay healthy? And so I was drawn to this passage in John, and I had Mark read a part of it, but it's from this longer passage where Jesus and the crowd has this conversation about Jesus being the bread of life. The bread that we should eat. What does he mean by that? That we should consume his flesh? Why does he choose that metaphor for that moment? And what does it mean for us to feed on Jesus? I find bread one of the most comforting and satisfying foods, probably to my detriment. The smell of it rising and baking, even the feel of it as I knead it, A warm loaf, freshly out of the oven, steaming as I slice it and put butter on it, and then that butter melting into every little crevice. I could live on homemade bread, probably. Again, probably to my detriment. But my sense is that Jesus is speaking about much more than bread here, more than the comfort and the flavor of a freshly baked loaf. The Gospel of John is often called the spiritual gospel, because John brings together two realities, the earthly reality and the spiritual or heavenly one. The earthly one is the one that we can touch and smell and see all around us. Perhaps it feels more real sometimes than the spiritual realm. But the spiritual reality, the heavenly reality, is no less real. As an example, in the passage that Mark read for us, Jesus is known to the crowd as Joseph and Mary's son. But John, the gospel writer, is also clear that Jesus is God's son. God is his father. So while Jesus is talking about himself as bread here, perhaps he means something more than earthly bread, actual bread. Perhaps he is talking about more than that, and there is more to our hunger, to our appetites, than our bodily one. Our minds are hungry too, hungry for truth and understanding. Our spirits are hungry for freedom, for security, for purpose. And our hearts are hungry for love, for belonging, for beauty. So how do we go about satisfying these cravings? The last decade or so has seen massive changes in our society, although I appreciate Mark's reminder that we have been through times of tremendous change before. But certainly in my lifetime, the last decade or so, massive changes. And I see us using social media, cable news, podcasts, talk shows, in addition to newspapers and magazines, just consuming these things with a voracious appetite. And many of the things we consume confirm the assumptions that we started with. The media we consume is confirming our thinking and our feelings, our fears and suspicions, our biases and beliefs about the world. It seems that we run to these things to get our fix, to feel like we belong and we're in the right, and we're energized by the outrage, and we're taken in by the secret information that these things seem to offer us. And we tend to go back and again, back and back again and again for more, sort of like an addiction to carbs or sugar. It tastes great and it makes us feel good for a moment. But these are not the things that lead to our long-term health or our long-term growth. This diet is too limited, focused on the earthly and neglecting the spiritual. These things offer temporary security, a sense of belonging, a sense of being right, but those feelings don't last. I realize that I'm speaking quite strongly, and perhaps I sound harsh, but I'm observing what we're consuming and how it's nourishing our fears and our outrage. We're separating into groups. We see this all around us, and we're losing the ability to listen to each other. I think that's part of the reason that Randy and Sandy and I feel so strongly about these conversation groups, because we want to foster something different. We want us to nourish our minds and our spirits with more. Our society is becoming less able to name the areas where our group that we feel we belong to, where that group has made errors, and where other groups have strengths and wisdom to offer us. I'm gravely concerned that we're nourishing our minds and our spirits with things that are not Jesus and not drawing us closer to Jesus. And I include myself in this concern. It's easy for me to fill my mind with media that confirms what I already think and believe and energizes me for the causes that I already feel energized about and against people who see things differently than I do. Consuming this media is not nourishing me for my long-term health and growth. It's not making me a better disciple of Jesus Christ, and it's not nourishing my relationships with others. The bread of abundant life that God offers for my health and growth is Jesus himself. And just like it's hard to stick to a diet rich in vegetables and protein and whole grains instead of sugar and carbs and salt, it's not easy for me to focus on the bread of life. It's not easy for me to focus on Jesus' call to love my enemies, to give them more than they ask for, to offer mercy to the merciless, to offer grace to the arrogant. It's not easy for me to focus on how Jesus corrects me, calls me to repentance, how he molds me so that I grow and become more like him. The longer we feed on our favorite media, the more our character will be shaped by it. And the more we feed on Jesus, the more our character will be shaped by him. We are what we eat. That's what they've always told us, right? Perhaps that holds true for our bodies and our minds and our hearts and our spirits as well. In Jesus, we will find what we hunger and thirst for: truth, understanding, purpose, love, belonging, security, joy, and peace. These things are found nowhere else. When we look for them elsewhere, we are tempted to make idols out of those earthly institutions and clubs and parties and whatnot. And that topic of idolatry is probably a sermon for another week. Now, I'm not encouraging us to become uninformed. There is a lot going on in our community and a lot going on in our country, and it is important that we are aware of those things and aware of what's happening. We cannot be witnesses to what it means to follow Jesus if we have no information about what's happening. There is a difference, however, between gathering information from different sources and looking to those sources for a sense of satisfaction to meet our deeper needs or to confirm our opinions and our point of view. Some sugar and carbs and salt are okay to enjoy. Gorging on them is what's dangerous. We need information to bring to prayer and the word for discernment, to bring to conversation with one another for discernment. We should be careful how the media is shaping our response to that information, however. We should be asking ourselves if the media is shaping us more than Jesus is. Both Jesus and the crowd that are surrounding him in this story this morning bring up from the Old Testament scriptures the manna that was sent from heaven. When God freed the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, he led them through the wilderness for decades. During that time, he fed them with manna from heaven. But there were a few restrictions on this generous provision from God. They weren't allowed to hoard it. They couldn't save it up. And it was only available at certain times of day. They were supposed to gather only what their household needed for that day. And if they tried to take more and store it for later, it would spoil. God asked them to trust him each day for what they needed to live and make the journey toward the promised land. They weren't to trust the manna itself or their own ability to provide what they needed. He was calling them back to himself over and over and over again. They wanted to go back to what they had always known in Egypt, although that was slavery and oppression. But at least there they had pots of meat for their stomachs and shelter and a job. Out in the wilderness, they had none of that. They were just supposed to walk and keep trusting. Even once they got to the promised land, they weren't satisfied. Then they wanted a human king, but God wanted to be their king. They wanted to do what was right in their own eyes, But God wanted to make them a people shaped by his righteousness found in his law. Like us, the Israelites were tempted to feed on and cling to earthly things that they believed would satisfy all of those longings. Their hunger for security, their thirst for comfort, their peace of mind. And Jesus found the same to be true of the crowds who followed him. He accuses them of being more interested in bread to fill their bellies than following him into God's kingdom. When they wanted to make him king to overthrow the rule of Rome, he walked away. When they demanded signs and wonders from him, he invited them to see with their hearts who he truly was and believe and follow. His teaching was so offensive to them that many stopped following. They couldn't grasp that he was offering them abundant life if they could feast on him and trust him and follow him. But what does it mean to feast on Jesus, the bread of life? What does it look like to identify what we're hungry and thirsty for and then find that in him? It's a very ambiguous goal. Well, first we need to identify what we're actually longing for. That's not always easy to do, especially in our days and weeks that fly by, filled with work and responsibilities and stress. But we can't bring to Jesus a longing that we can't even name. Once we take the time to identify what we're actually hungry and thirsty for, then the key is to seek a connection with Jesus so that we can pray with those longings in his presence and ask him to meet those needs himself. So with that in mind, I'm offering you a tool this morning. You've probably seen the blue paper that was slipped into your bulletins if you want to take that out. There are a whole bunch of questions on that paper that I am suggesting might open our eyes to our patterns of consumption, not food consumption, but consumption of media and of Jesus. And I offer these questions simply to raise our awareness. They're not meant to condemn us or to show us all the ways that we're failing to be nourished by Jesus himself. They're meant to help us see our behaviors more clearly so that we can then make a choice. Sometimes our habits are so automatic that we're not even aware of what we're doing. I'm not quite sure I could tell you how long I spend reading news articles or surfing Facebook or Instagram. I'm not sure I could tell you how many hours a week I spend in prayer and reading scripture. I just don't keep track of these things. But if I can become more aware of my habits of consumption, then I can choose. I can either say, oh good, I'm spending more time with Jesus than I am with media, or oh no, I'm spending quite a bit more time in media than with Jesus. But if I don't know, it's not helpful. So I'm just going to read through this with you. The first two categories are recognize your patterns of consuming media and recognize your response to that. So under recognize your patterns of consuming, I ask questions like, when do I turn to media? What am I feeling? What am I looking for from it? Am I tired and I just want to veg out? Am I fearful and looking for some assurance? Am I angry and I'm looking for someone to be angry with me? Am I confused and I'm looking for answers to the issues that are on my mind? And what kind of media am I consuming? Which voices am I listening to and why do I choose them? How long am I spending listening to those voices or watching them? And then recognize your response. How do I feel as I'm watching and listening? What are the emotions that rise up in me? Is it anger, compassion, curiosity, fear, sadness, excitement? Do I agree or disagree with what I'm hearing? Do I want to cheer them on or do I want to argue with them? Do I love them or hate them? And what is my physical response? Does my heart begin to beat faster as I'm listening? Or slower? Do my muscles tense up or do I relax? How does this affect the way I respond to people after I listen? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in me? Am I more gracious or less gracious? Am I more patient or less? And then some of these same questions for recognizing our patterns with the word and in prayer. When do I spend time with God's word? How long do I linger there? What am I looking for when I read? When do I pray? How long do I linger in God's presence? And what am I looking for when I pray? Am I fulfilling an obligation? Do I look forward to that time, or am I simply wanting to check it off my list? Yes, I prayed today. Got that done. Are there times I spend more time? Are there times when I spend less? And then recognizing our response to feasting on the word and Jesus' presence. How do I feel when I read scripture? How do I feel when I pray? Do I feel a sense of urgency to ask God for all the things that I want him to do? I want you to do this and this and this and this and this. Do I feel uncomfortable when I'm praying? Do I feel convicted as I read and pray? Guilty? Do I feel challenged by the things in the Bible? Confused by them? Excited by them? Do I feel peace, joy, hope? And what is my body's response? Do my muscles tense up or relax as I am in the Word and praying? How do I respond to others after my time in the Word and in prayer? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in me? Am I more gracious or less? Am I more patient or less? So as you use these questions, if you choose to use them, I'm not in any sense giving a mandate from the podium, try not to judge yourself too harshly. This practice is meant as an invitation to open our eyes to what we are consuming and how much of it we consume and why we consume it. It's meant to help us understand how what we're consuming is shaping us, what kind of people we are becoming because of it. Are we becoming more like Jesus? Because we are what we eat. The goal is for our diet of voices to nourish us for health and wholeness and growth. And as we are nourished, we are more able to be witnesses to the abundant life found in Jesus, the bread of life. The fruit of the Spirit will overflow from us to others as we consume more and more of Him. The kind of abundant life we won't find anywhere else, for no one else offers what Jesus offers us. Not our favorite talking heads, not our favorite political party, not our favorite club or podcaster or comedian or pastor. I'm just kidding. I'm not your favorite pastor. Only Jesus. So here is my challenge in closing. If we can trust my math, and I think we can because Sandy helped me this week. We have 44 days until the election. 44 days. I challenge us to take this 44 days and dig deep into the four Gospels. The life of Jesus, the bread of life. Soak it in. Feast on his words. Let the stories in the Gospels marinate in our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Let Jesus' actions speak loudly to us. 44 days in the four Gospels. Mark is the shortest, easy place to start. Let's be nourished by Jesus himself, more than media, more than politicians, more than Hollywood, more than football. Did I step on your toes there? Let's feast on the bread of life and be nourished primarily by him. Be nourished primarily by Jesus himself. We are what we eat. Let's pray.